In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Oh, we saw yesterday in the prodigal son, the prodigal father, and the elder brother, we saw that the pigsty did its work in that son. And today I'm just telling you at the beginning of this broadcast, stop catching people. Stop catching people. Let the pigsty of their life bring them to ground zero where they are in need of God. Stop trying to catch people before they reach their lowest mark. The father was always looking for the son, but he didn't go after him until the son was on the way home. The pigsty worked in the son. He was all smelly. He was all dirty. He was unclean. And he said, "Oh, my father's servants, they have so much more than I have. I'm going to go home to my father, and I'm going to say, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven." So please, I know people that are Christian like myself, we like to break the fall of people to make it easier for people. But you know what? We've got to let everybody's pigsty do its own work, because only then, when they reach ground zero in their life, will they turn to the Lord. So I don't know who I'm talking to. You know, you have a son on drugs and you've been doing stuff for him. You know, if you've bailed him out. You've got a daughter on drugs, you bailed her out. Stop bailing them out. Let the drug work in them that they seek God. What if they kill themselves? Well, you know what? You can't make anyone kill themselves. You can only pray and believe God is going to intervene. That's all you can do. So let everybody's pigsty work within them. The prodigal son had enough of the pigs, and that's when he went home. It took time, but then he went home, and the father was waiting for him, and father said, "Oh, let's do a great party. Put a robe on him, put a ring for authority, and sandals." And with sandals, he could have walked away again. Father trusts him. Father trusts him. And, you know, the elder brother is the religious man. "I've been with you all these days." You know, the religious man. "I've been with you all these days, and you never even gave me a kid for my party." "All I have is yours," the father said. "You could have done that if you wanted. We had to rejoice, for this son of mine was dead and has come to life. He was lost and is found." Let me tell you, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. And I'm looking at Corinthians today, and if Corinthians had any problem, they had the problem of sin. Oh, yes, they had a problem of sin, and they're always being castigated by Paul. They're always being told the truth. They're always being told the way that they're living is not right. "Would to God," Paul says, "you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed, please bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy." He cares so much for these people. He doesn't want them to go the wrong way. "I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, and that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Jesus Christ." I have espoused you to one husband, and I want to present you as a chaste virgin to Jesus Christ. "For if he that comes preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or if you receive another gospel, which has not been the right gospel, I suppose was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. They were listening to another gospel. They were listening to another spirit. They wanted the next latest thing, you know. That's the Corinthian. They wanted the next latest thing. And the next latest thing was grace. Grace that comes from Jesus Christ. The next latest thing was the presence of God. The next greatest thing was to be espoused to Jesus. The next greatest thing was, you know, you celebrate the Eucharist. The next greatest thing was in front of them, but they wanted more. You know, it's like the people that used to be in the charismatic renewal and that have gone into the spiritualist party, where they count birds' feathers and they think angels are following them and all this foolishness. I'm telling you, to be into the spiritualist party, it's sick. It's another gospel. They don't hold up Jesus Christ. They don't hold up Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. No, they give you spiritual happenings, and they're all connected to the devil. They're all connected to the devil. You go to a spiritualist church, my friend, you better start coughing them up, because you have been filled with evil. And St. Paul says, you know, I may be rude in speech. In other words, he wasn't eloquent, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. I took money from the Philippians, from Macedonia. I never asked anything from you. I cared for you. And when I was present with you and I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. In other words, what Paul couldn't give, the brothers that came from Macedonia and Philippi, they supplied. So, in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. He does not charge the people in Corinth for preaching the gospel. He accepts nothing from them. He accepts from Macedonia, and he brings people from Macedonia, that what is lacking in Paul, that the Macedonians who are Christians can give it to the Corinthians. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. What boasting? That I gave the gospel free of charge. That's what it is. You know, when people call me to do something, they say, what is your stipend? I say to them, I have no stipend. If you want to give me a gift, that's fine, but I have no stipend. I don't say, to preach the word of God, you've got to give me $1,800. I'm not into it. I am into saying, you know, if I go someplace and they find me worthy of what I've said, let them give me what they desire. I do not ask for anything. I let them decide that. St. Paul did the same thing. He didn't take a penny from the Corinthian community, and he calls that his boast. He could boast about that, because you know why? Because a lot of people are into this for the money. You know, I'm very skeptical of people that charge tickets to get in. You know, God is free. Jesus is free. Now, if they want to give a love offering, that's wonderful to have a love offering. That's wonderful to preach about money. But no, I don't like this like, you want to come to this service, you've got to give me so much money to get in. What about the people that can't get in? What about the poor that can't get in? I'm not into that stuff. I'm not into that stuff. People come, if they want to give us a gift, they give us a gift. Look, last night we had the basket in front, and people walked up and put what they wanted to put in. But I don't tell people, you've got to put in this much, or you've got to put in that much. But I do tell people, I didn't say it last night, what you sow is what you reap. So, you know, Paul didn't charge the Corinthian community for the gospel. But other people are charging the community for the gospel. Therefore, because I love you, God knows, but what I do, that I will do, that may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein your glory they may be found even as we are. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if this ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Paul again compares himself to the people that come in to try to re-evangelize them according to another gospel. You see, he's jealous for them. He gave birth to them by the preaching of the gospel, but they're going the wrong way. They're going the wrong way. They're listening to other people after Paul leaves. Paul tells us that, and when I leave, the wolves will come to try to devour you and to give you false doctrine. You know, and what was one of the false doctrines? That you had to be circumcised. And that, Paul said, never, because I was circumcised on the Damascus Road. And you know what? It wasn't circumcision or uncircumcision. It's becoming a new creation. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. So Paul's going to boast of himself being a fool for Christ. You know, everybody is somebody's fool. Whose fool are you today? Everybody is somebody's fool. Whose fool are you today? That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For you suffer fools gladly, seeing you yourselves are wise. In other words, you suffer fools gladly, that people who come in with another gospel, you accept them. But I'm a bigger fool, he says. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein ever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. And then he says, are they Hebrews? Well, so am I. Are they Israelites? Well, so am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? Well, so am I. As a matter of fact, I'm one of the children of Benjamin, the only tribe, the smallest tribe that entered into the Holy Land. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more in abundance, more in stripes, above measure in prisons, more frequent in deaths. So Paul says, I'm going to tell you my credentials. I've been spit at, I've been whipped, I've been in prison, they've done it all for love. I've done all these things for love. What about these other false apostles? What are their credentials? Big words. That's all they have. Are big words, and they lead you astray. But I'll tell you my credentials. I've been in prison. I've been beaten up. I was left to dead. That's my credentials. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes less one. That means 5 times he received 39 stripes. And if you would look at Jesus Christ, that beautiful movie, The Passion of Christ, Paul received those stripes 4 times. And you know what? They had no right to beat him because he was a Roman citizen. I am in more labors, more abundance, more stripes. 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck.
a night and a day I have been in the deep of the sea, in journeyings often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Paul says, I'm telling you my credentials. The Jews hate me. Some of the Gentiles hate me. I've been on the sea and I've been shipwrecked. I've been struck with whips 4 times, 39 times each. Oh, I'll tell you my credentials. You want to know how great I am? I'm going to tell you all the things I suffer you for you for. And he suffers for them. He suffers for his community. He suffers for his community, especially the Corinthian community, who are accepting reprobates who preach a false gospel. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without that which come for me daily, the care of all the churches, the anxiety of all the churches that he formed, because he knows that when he left the churches and after he evangelized them and after they were baptized and after they received the Holy Spirit, he knows that wolves are going to come in and try to reconvert them to another gospel. I came among you preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. I made up my mind to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Who is weak that I am not weak? Who is offended that I am not burned out? If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things that concern my infirmities. I'm going to tell you, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast of my sufferings. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knows that I do not lie. In Damascus, the governor, under Aretas, the king, kept the city of Damascus with the garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hand. You see, these are the credentials of an apostle. He doesn't talk about healings and deliverances, even though that are part of the credentials. He wants to show these people that suffering for Christ, persecution is the great, great crown of St. Paul. Now, these other people that come in, they come in with another gospel, nothing to do with sufferings for Christ. They're going to give you a gospel that's going to puff you up with all the knowledge, you know, to know the secret word and then divide $100. I'm going to tell you, this is what Paul was facing, and he wept for these churches. He wept for these churches because they were under another gospel, because they believed in people who came in. And he says, I came in, but I didn't charge you anything. What are they charging you, these super apostles? I'll tell you, I'm a real apostle. I've been shipwrecked. I've been beaten. I've fasted. I was left for dead. I was hit by Jews. I was hit by Gentiles. I'm a real apostle because I've suffered for Jesus Christ. Are they Hebrews? So am I told you. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I am more, in labors, in abundance, in stripes, above measures, in prisons, more frequent, in death. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. I'm going through it again. 3 times was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck, a day and a night. I have been in deep, deep journeyings, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchfulness often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches.
And that was the greatest suffering of Paul, that when he left, he knew the wolves would come. He knew that people would come with other gospels. He knew that people would preach another Christ, and he is concerned about this community that he gave birth to through the preaching of the gospel and the washing and generation of the word and with water in baptism. I'm telling you, Paul was awake nights caring for his people. He started these communities, and he knew the wolves would come in afterwards, and he suffered because he couldn't go back all of a sudden because he was in another place. You can only be at one place at one time for the most part. And Paul knew what it was to suffer as an apostle. Paul knew what Jesus suffered on the cross. He tasted it, tasted a little bit at least, what Jesus suffered on the cross. And he says, this is what I boast in. I don't boast in anything else. What do you boast in? What do I boast in? My friends, we have nothing to boast about. Anything that I have been given it. Anything that you have been given it. There is no need to boast before God. If you are doing miracles, I'm telling you, God is doing the miracle through you. There is nothing to boast about. You're just a slave of Jesus, a friend of Jesus, a servant of Jesus. And that's law good enough, that the Lord uses you. That's what you can boast about, that the Lord uses you. And maybe you have persecutions. Maybe people don't like what you say. I tell you, there are many people that don't like what I say in Winthrop, and they have gone to another church, another Catholic church. And I say, you know what? That's good. Better they go someplace else than I become a stumbling block for them. I don't want to become a stumbling block for anybody. But you see, there will always be the time of persecution for those who proclaim the gospel. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, we've left mother, father, sister, brother, lands, and homes for you and for the gospel's sake. What will we receive because we've left it? He said, you're going to receive more mothers, not fathers, though, more lands, more homes, and persecution beside. That's what Jesus promised. He promised persecution. And I don't ever hear people talk about persecution. Just read the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, and you see what Paul went through. You read the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, and see what Paul went through. He was persecuted against by Jews, by Gentiles, persecuted. It's part of the gospel. Persecution is part of the gospel. And unfortunately, no one likes to go through it. 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 But you see, it's part of the gospel. If they persecuted Jesus and they wouldn't allow him to stay in the synagogue at Nazareth, they wanted to throw him over, they will persecute me. They will persecute you. If we truly belong to Jesus, persecution is part of the package. It's not all the package. It's part of the package. St. Paul is trying to show the people that he is a real apostle because he has suffered in Jesus Christ, and he has suffered for the communities, and he has joined his suffering to the cross of Jesus Christ. I tell you, God does not give us leukemia. God does not give us arthritis. That's part of the old system, you know. We are all human. God does allow persecution. Oh, yes. Jesus heals. Thank God. And we are to pray for healing. And we are to realize that when we are persecuted, as difficult as it is part of the gospel message. So I want you to read for yourself 2 Corinthians 11 and 12, the second book of Corinthians 11 and 12, and read Paul's letter. Read it
speak it out aloud. Hear what Paul says. What's good enough for Paul is good enough for us. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time. I want to tell you, when I went out Saturday to feed the poor, a young man came up to me and said, "Have you received your $100,000 yet for WEZE and WROL?" Because he heard me that it costs us $100,000 a year to be on WEZE and WROL. I said, "It's coming." And then about 10 minutes later, he comes up to me with a couple of dollars, and he says, "This is for your radio ministry." This is a man out in the street. This is a man out in the street. He comes with a couple of dollars. That couple of dollars is worth more than $5,000 to God. That couple of dollars is worth more than $10,000 to God. He gives out of his need, just like the widow that put in all she had. God saw that man's heart, and he will increase that man. I pray he get an apartment. I pray that God would open a door for him, that he would no longer be out on the street. I pray for a miracle because he gave out of his need. May Jesus Christ be praised. Read 2 Corinthians 11 and 12. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.